I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we've got four stops to make. We're going to do this for a half hour, get everybody from every city in the conference championship weekend. Big one in the NFL. We're going to start with the underdog Green Bay Packers. They got clobbered by the Niners when they played in the regular season. Maybe Aaron Rodgers' worst game of his career. 104 passing yards. They lost 37-8. Now they are going back to San Francisco for some redemption. Bob Watts of 107.5 FM in Milwaukee is joining us now. Bob, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland. I'll just start with the difference between these two teams. A lot of people are thinking the Niners are going to roll again. What is your thought of the Packers taking on San Francisco for the second time this season?
Well, I don't know if they'll roll or not. We certainly expect it to be a better football game. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Packers are underdogs, 7.5-point favorites. And you mentioned that Aaron Rodgers probably played his worst game as a pro. So you add all that up, and, you know, you got that 37-8 grubbing. But I don't think it'll be as bad as that if they lose on Sunday.
Well, where do you think, you know, you go back to that regular season game and then watching how Minnesota struggled with San Francisco last week, and you just know that you got to run the ball against San Francisco to try and neutralize that pass rush. How are they feeling about their ability to establish the run to help Aaron Rodgers out on Sunday?
Well, the biggest difference on Sunday will be that they'll have Ryan Bulaga back healthy. You know, he left in that first meeting 9 plays into the ballgame, and Alex Light got lit up pretty good at right tackle. So they'll have a healthy Ryan Bulaga, who missed last week against Seattle because of the bug that was floating around here in Green Bay. I think they feel pretty good about it. They Aaron Jones has had a tremendous season. Mm-hmm. They've got a little bit of a pounder in Jamal Williams. They'll try to get those guys involved in the passing game as well. So, you know, they should try to run the ball, and I think they'll do it a little bit better than what they did the first time around. But, again, will it be enough on Sunday against San Francisco? We'll see.
Yeah, Green Bay 7-point underdogs against the Niners. Bob Watts of 107.5 FM in Milwaukee is our guest here, the Ticker. What did you see from Green Bay against Seattle, Bob, that you think they could bring that against San Francisco and it would give them a better chance of hanging around and maybe pulling off an upset? I know they're different teams that they're going against here, but what did they do really well in your mind that maybe they can hopefully translate to this weekend?
Well, I thought they played pretty darn good defense against the Seahawks on Sunday. Zadarius and Preston were able to get after it. Kenny Clark, too. You know, it's kind of a two-pronged attack here for the Packers. I think they're going to have to be able to get after Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he's not as elusive as Russell Wilson, and they did a pretty good job containing Russell last weekend. And, you know, they're going to know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be in the pocket. So if somehow they can get some pressure on Jimmy and force some turnovers, maybe get some field position for the Packers, that would be beneficial. On the flip side, even though as much as it is for the defense for Green Bay, the question is whether the Packers' offense is going to be able to maybe keep up with the 49ers' offense and score some points. You know, trying to put the magic number on how many points you need to get the win. Last week I pegged it at 24 against Seattle, and that's exactly what they would have needed. You know, if they had, you know, they scored 28, but if they would have had 24, they would have won 24-23. And, you know, we're trying to pencil in that number for the Packers' offense, and we figure it's going to have to be right around 28. And as well as the defense has been playing, I'm not sure the Packers' offense can get to 28.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the struggle there. You know, I think the thing that was such a standout last weekend in their win was Devontae Adams and the way that he played, the unique ways that they lined him up. And, you know, Richard Sherman likes to talk a lot, and he's having another great season in the secondary, an interception of Kirk Cousins last week. How creative do you think Green Bay will get in just finding different spots to line Devontae Adams up to try and capitalize maybe on some mismatches with that San Francisco secondary?
Well, that's a good point. I think they'll do a lot of that or try to do a lot of that. That's one thing that we've seen under Matt LaFleur that we didn't see under McCarthy is they do a lot of misdirection, a lot of matchups. They scheme these guys to get open rather under McCarthy. He used to just line them up and say, my guys are going to beat your guys. And that's how it's going to go. And, of course, that kind of worked early in McCarthy's career here in Green Bay and faded toward the end. Matt LaFleur does a whole lot better job of doing the misdirections and trying to find mismatches and scheming his guys open. Now, will he be able to do that? You know, Devontae coming off that big game against Seattle. Obviously, Devontae, when we talked to him in the locker room earlier in the week, he's expecting a lot of double coverage. So will he be able to still get the ball? We'll find out. But, you know, somebody else is going to have to stand up and, you know, raise their hand and ask for the ball as well. And Aaron Rodgers really hasn't been willing to throw it to one other particular wide receiver on a consistent basis. If you look at the box score, he'll throw the ball to maybe 9 different guys, which sounds really good in theory, but 15 targets have gone to Devontae, and everybody else gets like 1 or 2. And I personally think somebody else needs to stand up and kind of take the bull by the horns.
Yeah. What's your gut say happens, Bob? We'll get you out of here on this one.
Well, I think it's going to be a better football game, but as I told my listeners this morning, I still don't think the Packers are going to win this. I have San Francisco winning this one 27-17.
Yeah. 27-17, Bob Watts, 107.5 FM in Milwaukee. Our guest here, Green Bay, the underdog going to San Fran. Bob, great insight, man. Thank you for hopping on with us. Enjoy that game. Hopefully it's a good one.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. There we go. Great stuff from Bob Watts of 107.5 FM. And now we get to talk about the other underdog, and that's Tennessee going to Kansas City. Our good friend David Beauclair, who we had on last week before Baltimore of SI.com, longtime Titans beat writer, as they get ready to go into Arrowhead. David, thanks so much for joining us yet again. I'll start with this. Derrick Henry's had 180-plus yards rushing in 3 straight games. He had 188 the last time they played the Chiefs. The Titans are going to do this, aren't they? We denied them last week, David. They're going to do it this week, aren't they?
Yeah, I kind of think they are. They don't seem to flinch at anything right now. And you know, you mentioned the game against the Chiefs. That was, in a way, that's sort of where their playoff philosophy was born, because that was the start of 4 straight 100-yard games for Derrick Henry there, and 5 of 6 to conclude the regular season. He rushed for 2 touchdowns that day. And on the defensive side of the ball, they forced the Chiefs to try 6 field goals that day. And the last of those 6 was blocked as time expired to preserve the 3-point win. And that's, you know, that's sort of been the MO in the playoffs, is give the ball to Derrick Henry on offense. On defense, you give up yards, but you protect the goal line, make the other team kick field goals, and you know, you can trace it directly back to that Kansas City game.
Yeah, that's such a good point on keeping them out of the end zone. They did it in New England, that goal line stand, and then last week all the yards for Baltimore, but turnovers and 4th down stops didn't leave a lot of points to show for it. I will ask, and I feel like we asked you this going into the Baltimore game as well, if it comes down in the second half, they're trailing, and you got to throw your way back into this game, and you can't lean on Derrick Henry, where's the confidence in Ryan Tannehill to be able to do that?
I think confidence is high. I mean, he completed 70% of his passes in the regular season, led the league in passer rating and in yards per attempt, and he's made some throws in the playoffs. Hasn't had to throw it a lot, but you look at the touchdown pass to Khalif Raymond last Saturday in Baltimore. You know, a good play action, good throw down the middle on a deep ball, and Khalif Raymond makes the catch for a big touchdown after one of those 4th down stops that you referenced. It's I mean they feel like, and I think the game plan last week actually was to feature a little bit more of Tannehill. I mean, he threw the ball 8 times in the first quarter, but then the Titans got the lead and decided, well, let's just get this clock running and hand the ball off. So I think they felt like they were going to throw more in that game than they ultimately had to. So it's not like they haven't wanted to throw the ball in the postseason. They just haven't really needed to.
Yeah, David Beauclair is our guest, SI.com, longtime Tennessee Titan beat writer. As the Titans have been the surprise team of the NFL, 9-7. They get in as a wild card, and now they're in the AFC Championship game. You guys have had the Music City Miracle. You came within a yard of a Super Bowl with McNair back in the day. What has the city been like with this run, David? And just 9-7? I mean, if I would have told Titan fan they're 9-7, I don't even think they'd make the playoffs in most fans' minds. What's it been like over there?
Yeah, it's funny. I grew up in Philadelphia, and you know, the Titans came here in 97 as the Tennessee Oilers and changed to the Titans in 99 when they moved into their stadium, and they went to the Super Bowl that year, went 13-3, best record in the regular season the next year, or in the playoffs four times in 5 years over that stretch, and you know, the city was just agog over them. And I kept telling people, like, look, pro sports is not this easy. Pro sports is about suffering, and you need to, you know, there's a lot of hard times, and the city sort of, you know, has been really, you know, the city has been out on this team for a while, because you had the Nashville Predators in the NHL make a Stanley Cup run a couple years ago, and they've sort of held people's attention. And even through this regular season, you know, one of the big stories is how many fans of the opposing team are going to be in the stadium every Sunday during the home games. But I think the win over New England really caught people's attention. I think the win over Baltimore has people really, really excited. And this is the week where, you know, you see businesses flying flags, or they, right, they make mentions of the Titans on their marquees and this sort of thing. So, you know, everybody is finally back on board now, I think, with this team.
Well, and you look to last week, I should have listened to you. You told me it was going to be a close game they could cover. I didn't listen to you. I took Baltimore, and I lost the damn bet. So I'm going to ask you again this week. I mean, it feels like a different animal. Patrick Mahomes, that Chiefs offense, they looked so unstoppable last week. How does it play out? They cover, do they win? How do you think it goes?
Yeah, I see it as sort of a 50-50 game. I think there's going to be three big touchdowns in this game. And by big, I'm thinking maybe 40 yards or more, and with each team is going to get one. Whichever team gets the third one is going to win. But I think, you know, in 99, when the Titans went to the Super Bowl, I remember I kept thinking, because they kind of snuck up on people that year too, and I kept thinking, well, it has to end at some point. It has to end. And it, you know, it never did. And even in the Super Bowl, they played a great game, just didn't win it. So I think the Titans win this one. I'm looking at like a 27-23 kind of score.
There we go. Great stuff from David Beauclair, longtime Titan beat writer, SI.com. David, man, you know, we always appreciate having you on up here in Portland. Thank you so much for hopping on with us today, and enjoy that game. And if they win, I'm thinking David Beauclair back on with Dirt and Sprague maybe next week or the week after.
I'll be here for you anytime.
All right. Awesome. There we go. Great stuff from David Beauclair of SI.com and Bob Watts of 107.5 FM in Milwaukee on the Packers and the Titans, the two underdogs in the conference championship games. Now let's go to the favorites.
Here we go.
Let's go to San Francisco, and let's go to Kansas City. We have two more stops to make. The ticker has been extended for a half hour for AFC-NFC Conference Championship Weekend, and we'll get to those two stops next on The Fan. All right, Boots on the Ground continues here on the Daily Ticker. As our boss just pointed out, this is our version of Colin's NFL meat sandwich, a half hour of just talking all matchups in the conference championship game, getting a perspective on every team, and we'll start with the favorites. As we just went to the underdogs, Vern Glenn, longtime anchor in San Francisco, CBS Channel 5, the Niners hosting Green Bay. They whooped them last time they played, and he is our guest now. Vern, thanks so much for hopping on with us here in Portland. We appreciate it. Look, the last game was pretty bad. Aaron Rodgers had his worst game as a pro. Are we nervous, though, about a second matchup with Green Bay having that film?
I don't think you can apply the first game, the film from that, to this game at all. I mean, this is a different Green Bay Packer team come in, and it's not the November Green Bay Packers. Are going to come in here. In fact, they fly in early tomorrow afternoon with a game plan geared to, I think, my opinion, to attack, not react, be quick. I believe they probably have some blocking schemes for Bosa on the line. They want to stay away from 4-55. I think in order for Green Bay to have any chance, they have got to be fast, quick, and aggressive. Attack, 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 attack.
Yeah, you can't sit in that pocket with that 49er pass rush coming after you. The day's not going to end well. Kirk Cousins learned that last weekend. I'm curious to ask you about Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, we make so much about guys making their first playoff start, the pressure that goes into it, and that was kind of a storyline early. And I thought he looked good early in that game. Then he throws the bad pick towards the end of the first half. It lets Minnesota kind of stick around with a field goal. And then they just did. I mean, he didn't have to do anything in the second half. They had a driver. They ran it 8 times, scored a touchdown. He was non-existent. The 49ers won. They didn't need him to do much. Where's the feeling around Garoppolo going into this game in a bigger setting and going against a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
I think the guys are behind him. Garoppolo knows, we all know, he has so many weapons offensively. And what maybe your listeners don't know, but as opposed to a lot of these NFL coaches, Kyle Shanahan likes to script his first 24 plays, 12 run, 12 pass, and then after about the 15, 16 play, then he kind of began to figure out what works and what didn't. Against the Vikings, it was clear that they could run the football, pound, pound, pound. They had a drive where every play was a rush leading to a touchdown. But back to Garoppolo, all he really has to do, and it sounds cliche-ish, all he really has to do is manage the game, read his keys, go through his regressions, throw to a spot, expect the receiver to be there, and execute the game plan. Yeah, Jimmy's going to be Jimmy, and he's going to give you a gift per game in the form of that pick. That was a linebacker he never even saw. But I think 49ers empire are, even in this day and age of 2020, they are so drunk with Joe Montana and Steve Young. They just expect the quarterback calling the signals to be like that. And it's not.
Yeah, sure isn't. And don't forget, I think Niner fans are so upset that their perfect Super Bowl record was ruined in 2012 when they went and they lost to Baltimore. So a lot of pressure in San Francisco. I'll get you out here on this one, Vern. What does your gut say? Like, who is the wild card maybe for Green Bay? And what do you think is going to happen? What is your prediction for Sunday?
I think the popular one is Davante Adams, who's from the Bay Area, up against Emmanuel Mosley. That's the other corner that nobody talks about. Everybody talks about Richard Sherman, but nobody talks about Emmanuel Mosley. He didn't start against the Vikings, but after Witherspoon had his bugaboos on that first drive for the Vikings, he got quickly pulled, and then it was Emmanuel Mosley the other way. So Mosley, better player than we thought, but knowing Aaron Rodgers as I do, going back to Cal, all those Wednesdays in the Hall of Fame room with he and I just chatting one-on-one, and he's 36 years old now. He's a future Hall of Famer. I know that is a weakness that he intends to target. But, hey, you know what? The Packers, they got a pretty good running game, too.
Right.
So I expect Aaron Jones to get off quickly. A lot of off-tackle plays. I am sure the offensive line has some blocking schemes to take Bosa out.
Yeah.
Take him out, and it's all about matches. But Green Bay has to take over that game early on and send a message. Hit him in the mouth first, so to speak.
Yes or no, I'm texting you in about a week and a half to do a Super Bowl hit on our show. Yay or nay?
If you text me in about a week, I'll be in Miami.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
Getting ready for this ninth run for the 49ers overall to try and win a Super Bowl.
There
That's how I feel. I just feel the 49ers are the better team pound for pound.
There we go. Great stuff. Our good friend Vern Glenn down there, CBS Channel 5 in the Bay. Always so gracious with his time. Vern, enjoy that matchup, my man. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Got my hand in the dirt. I'm ready to get after it.
There we go. Good stuff from Vern Glenn over there, CBS Channel 5. Now let's go to Kansas City. They're the favorite at home. Big favorite, 7.5. Josh Klinger in 610 Sports Radio. Kansas City is our guest. Josh, thanks so much for hopping on with us here in Portland. Look, they did not fare well last time against Derrick Henry and the Titans. They lost that game. Why do you think it will be different if it is?
I think the defense is better than they were in that game. I think that was a game where the Chiefs kind of hit bottom, if it was to be bottom defensively with their overhauls they made before the season and new defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. And they thought they'd kind of turned the corner and then got a wake-up call in that game. And they've been really good since. I think Patrick Mahomes is a lot healthier since that game. As well. And then you can't discount playing at home, although Arrowhead Stadium has always traditionally been that place everybody wants to go. They haven't had the greatest record, of course, in the postseason playing at home. But this go round just has the feel of a little payback for that matchup back in week 10. Chiefs haven't lost that game since. And I think with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, this is the time they finally break through.
Well, I know the AFC title game is this weekend, and we're all excited for that matchup, but it's just hard for me to move on from what I saw this past weekend. To start a game as bad as they did, to fall down 24-0, I'm panicking because I had the Chiefs minus 10. Everybody's thinking, oh, God, what, are we going to get a Houston-Tennessee AFC title game? It still hasn't sunk in that they went on a 51-7 run after that. Like, what the hell happened, man? That was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost want an extra week, right, after that one, because it was, like, literally the greatest football game we've all been a part of in Kansas City, right? I mean, there's not much that can top the way that one went down because, yeah, a team that was everything was going wrong and everything was going right for the other team. There was still a lot of time left in that game, and I thought a couple key mistakes, I thought, by Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Houston, to really kind of, you know, I thought he had the ability to throw the knockout in the first half and didn't get it, and then left the Chiefs some life. And then once they got rolling, they were rolling. You don't see too many runs like that outside of, you know, the NBA and college basketball, maybe, but certainly not in football. Yeah, it was an incredible game a week ago. I guess for the Chiefs, they probably wish they could bank a few of those points for this week, but learned a lesson about starting slow, and you're not. Not too many times you're going to be able to bail yourself out like they did a week ago.
Josh, will Chris Jones play? And what do you think they have to hold Derrick Henry to win this? And what is your ultimate prediction of what's going to happen at Arrowhead?
Yeah, it certainly looks like Chris Jones is going to be a game time decision. He spoke today, normally pretty jovial guy, and I thought he was pretty reserved and down. So I'm not completely optimistic. They're listing him officially as questionable. Did try to practice a little bit today for the first time. But I'm guessing it's going to be right up until a game time decision in that one. And at this point, I'd probably lean towards him not playing. You know, we've been debating the Derrick Henry question all week long, you know, and I think we've kind of felt like if you kind of locked in at, say, 125 and a touchdown, you felt like you could win that game. But that's a ridiculous amount of yards still, right?
No.
It's pretty pedestrian. Pretty pedestrian for him. I think if he gets up into that, you know, 180 territory where he's been the last few games in the playoffs and gets, you know, two or three scores, I think that means that things are going pretty well for Tennessee in this matchup. But certainly that's the one everybody's keeping an eye on. I've been kind of flipping the switch a little bit, though. You know, Patrick Mahomes, even in a loss, had 446 yards passing the last go around against a secondary that's also pretty banged up heading into this one. So I think the flip side is also concerning, I would think, for the Titans, whether or not you can slow down this passing attack of the Chiefs.
It might be the tougher thing. I'm sorry, I got one more thing. I'm just curious. It might be the tougher matchup for you guys, but do you think the city, the fans, are rooting for the best Super Bowl matchup that everybody else is, and that's Kansas City, San Francisco, or is this strictly about whatever it takes to get the trophy, even if that means a Green Bay Packer team?
Yeah, I don't think anybody cares.
Okay. All right.
This franchise hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 50 years, so they can break that streak Sunday, and I don't think they care who's on the other end of it at this point in time. It'll be fun either way because you got the Joe Montana story, right? Kansas City, San Francisco.
Oh, touche, yeah.
Kansas City, Green Bay, which would have a lot of storylines, obviously. Right. So either way, as long as the Chiefs are there, they don't. Nobody here cares.
Yeah, that was a very non-NFL market question from me here, Josh, but I thought I'd ask it nonetheless. Josh Klinger of 610 Sports Radio in KC. Josh, enjoy that game. Thank you so much for hopping on, man. We always appreciate the time.
All right, thanks, guys.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.